I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Years ago, I read a message by R.G. Lee. It touched my heart. I have borrowed his outline for this message this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I trust all of you will make plans to be here tonight. You're never fully dressed as a child of God until you have attended the Sunday school, the morning service. And by the way, if you didn't come to the early service or the breakfast, you missed a delicacy. If the Cracker Barrel or Bob Evans hear about this, their business would double in a week if some of you folks could cook for them, because they don't have anything like we had this morning. That's sure. So I'm reading now from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to begin with verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world... Now I want you to notice that word God. You see that little G? You see that little G? My question is, do you serve a little G God or a big G God? The Muslims have a little G God. In whom the God of this world, the Bible says, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I wonder what Jesus really looks like. I'm going to speak this morning on the face of Jesus Christ. We'll never get an idea of what Jesus looks like by the artist's conception of his face. And if we're going to know what Jesus looks like, we'll have to go to the Word of God, because this is the only source that describes the Lord Jesus Christ and his face. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Vatican in Rome, I'm told, is the largest of the world's and earth's art gallery. And on its walls hang literally multiplied millions of dollars of oils on canvas and tapestries, but nothing could compare with the glorious face of Jesus Christ, who died and came forth from the grave for us. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we can get a glimpse of the face of Jesus this morning, I'll guarantee you every one of us will leave this building differently than we came in. If we can get a glimpse of Jesus' face this morning, we'll get out of the bed differently in the morrow. We'll go to sleep differently tonight. If we can just get a glimpse of the face of Jesus. And so I pray this morning in this service that we will go out of this building saying, we have gotten a glimpse of Jesus Christ. So, what is his face like? I'm going to say some things that will surprise us, but first of all, I want you to know the face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a sad face. All you have to do is look around you to see those who have defied God, those who have lived in sin, those who are doing everything they can to twist the Scriptures. And the face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a sad face. And the Bible says in Isaiah 59 and verse number 2, Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. That's the reason many of us do not have answers to our prayers, because we've caused his face to be a sad one. As we look at the scripture, we'll find out that his face is sad because of our sin, of our wicked ways, of our lives, our ungodly living. People who reject him, by the lives of professing Christians who do what they want to do after they've said they've gotten saved. Professing Christians who live contrary lives, who can't get along one with another. We get upset with those who fight one another in the wars and all the gangs and the neighborhood conflicts. And yet, we look at ourselves. If we could see what God sees, we would find out that most of us are in the same category of those that war and fight and kill daily. The Bible says, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. We know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him," 1 John 3:15. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a sad face, and it's because of us. But then the Bible says his face is a shining face. Mount Hermon, 9,200 feet above sea level, the place of the Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John. And Matthew says, in chapter 14 and verse 2, his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. His face is a shining face. Hebrews 1:3, the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. John describes Jesus on the Isle of Patmos. This description is one of the most complete pictures of Jesus of any place in the whole scriptures. I want you to look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in all in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." That tells me if the Lord Jesus Christ walked in this auditorium this morning and stood at the front, Before he opened his mouth, every one of us in this building would do one of two things. Now, what would you do? I'll tell you, you have a choice. You will either fall at his feet and bow, or you'll flee from his presence. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a shining face. Paul reveals his experience on the road to Damascus, and as we look at the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all vouch. And Paul said that his face was so shining he went blind in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 80 and verse 7, "Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." His face is a shining face. Sad because of our conduct. Shining face for us, to draw us to himself. We look a little further and we find out something else about the face of Jesus. His face was a stained face. The Bible says that his face was stained with tears. In Bethany, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus wept, stained with tears. He wept over Jerusalem. How oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathered chicks? You would not. The Lord Jesus Christ's face was stained with tears. But not only stained with tears, his face was stained with blood. This morning, if we can get a glimpse of Jesus, we'll all leave this building differently than we came in. If we can just see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, stained with blood. Luke 22:41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, why is the face of the Lord Jesus Christ a face that's sad? Why is his face shining? Why is his face a stained face? For you, for me, for us, for the world, for the world. Almost 7 billion. For the world. For God so loved the world. Little boy jumped up in his daddy's lap and he was trying to express his love for his daddy. He said, Daddy, gave him a big hug and said, I love you a quarter's worth. And he thought, he didn't know much about money, but he thought, well, I'm going to have to double 2 quarters worth. And then he thought, well, I heard a dollar. That must be more than a... And he said, Daddy, I love you a dollar's worth. And he was still dissatisfied, and he sat there for a moment, and he looked at his daddy, gave him a great big hug and said, Daddy, I love you so much. That's beyond our comprehension. God so... How in the world could God love wickedness and sinful people as we are? He loved us. He sent his best so that we could be saved. His face was stained with tears. His face was stained with blood and spittle. If we can get a glimpse of Jesus this morning, it's going to change us. We're going to be new people. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But if we can come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ after being born again and see his purpose for us and his love for us and compassion for us, it will cause you to be affected the rest of your life. If we can just get a glimpse of Jesus this morning. And the Bible says his face was stained with spittle. They smote him on the head with a reed and spit upon him. Mark 15:19. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Isaiah 50:6. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. People are doing that today. They're mocking, they're scoffing, they're laughing at Christians. They try the best to emphasize little g gods. And they do everything that they possibly can. Oh, you're one of those people. You're the face of the Lord Jesus Christ was a stained face. And then the Bible says his face is a smitten face. Isaiah 50:6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Isaiah 53:4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Matthew 26:67-68, and others, the Bible says, and they did spit on his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Luke and John give us the same account. I want you to think of it. A face whereupon was found no insincerity, no dishonesty, no fault finding, no deceit, cruel palms, callous knuckles found their mark on the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ's face was smitten. No wonder we read in Isaiah 52:14, his visage was marred more than any man. I have a friend, his name is Warren Wiersbe. He was pastoring Calvary Baptist Church in Covington, Kentucky. And he was coming home one night late after taking the babysitters home. And a group of teenagers, about four or five in the crowd, so drunk they should not have been behind the wheel, crossed the median, hit him head on. Word passed among the congregation quickly that their pastor had been in a horrible accident. Word reached a nurse at the hospital, look out for our pastor. She was working in the emergency unit that night, and she was working frantically and trying to help everyone that came in. And she was working and worked for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and she's looking for her pastor and discovered she was that far away from his face. She did not recognize her pastor, the one she was working over, the one she was ministering to, the one she was trying to help. With scores of stitches in his face, she could not recognize her own pastor. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ was marred more than any man's. If you had known Jesus before Calvary, you would not have recognized him hanging on the cross. You would not have known it was Jesus by simply watching or looking at him or beholding him. Jesus Christ was buffeted. General John B. Gordon, who fought valiantly for the South in the war between the states, was governor of Georgia. He sought the high Senate seat. In the political arena, there are always those that oppose those who are running for office. The opposition thought if they could find somebody that fought with the general, although disagreed with his political views, it would go a long way in defeating his election to the Senate of the United States of America. They found such a one. General Gordon was to make a speech, and this person who disagreed with him politically was going to stand. The opposition had him all charged and keyed up and ready and to disagree with the general. And so the general started speaking. The signal was given, but the man who was supposed to speak that fought by his side did not move. They thought he's missed the signal. And again, they gave it, and he didn't move. He sat there after it was over. They said, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. He said, I disagree with the general, but when I looked upon his face, and when I remember how he fought valiantly and how he even saved my life, although I disagree with him politically, I could not stand up and speak against the general. Now, folks, if we can get a glimpse of the face of the Lord Jesus Christ in this service this morning, it will be something that you will never forget the rest of your days. If we're going to get a glimpse of Jesus, we'll have to look to the Word of God. Smitten, of course. And then his face was set. He had a set face. Isaiah 50 and verse 7, "Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." And Luke 9:51, "He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face." And when Peter tried to get Jesus to turn away from Calvary, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." His face was set on our salvation. He had you in mind. He had me in mind. Everybody that's been given birth to in the world, Jesus had in mind, and he died for the world. And if the world would put their faith and trust in Christ, there's enough salvation in Calvary to save the whole world. His face, a set face. But there's more. As you examine the scriptures, you'll find out that his face was a scorching face and will be. John 2:15, 16, and 17 tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ was upset because of the money changers in the temple, and he plaited some leather thongs together until he made a whip, and with all the authority of the Godhead, he marched in, began to crack the whip, and said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves," and turned over the tables of the money changers. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ was a scorching face. Revelation 20 and verse 11, "And I saw a white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." I read from the book of Revelation, chapter 6, and the Bible teaches us of the fierceness of the anger of the Lord Jesus Christ. Probably three of the most horrible scriptures in the Bible. Chapter 6, verse 15, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains, 'Fall on us.'" To the rocks, "Fall on us. Fall on us. Hide us from the face. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Isn't it strange? People who laugh at Christians who pray today will be praying themselves. They will be praying that the mountains will fall upon them. They'll be praying for death, but they will not receive it. It will not come. They will live forever in the torments and woes, in the dungeon where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. Not for a week. Not for a month. Not for a year. Not for 100. Nor 1,000. And the most terrible and horrible word has to be a very simple four-letter word. L-O-S-T. Lost. 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 And the word echoes throughout. And people say, "Oh, if I go to hell, I have plenty of company." You go to hell and you won't know anybody else is there. And you won't want anybody else to come. We have evidence of that in the scriptures. Lost forever and for an eternity. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ, a scorching face. Hide us from the face. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ, a scorching face. And then his face was a shrouded face. Let's observe the garden. Here are the disciples. Three times they've been exhorted to pray. Watch and pray. And by the way, that's what we're supposed to do. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. And the third time Jesus came to them, because they were alerted for some reason. In the distance, they hear the tramp, tramp, tramp of the marching feet of the Romans. And they look and they say, "My, this must be an important mission they're going on at this late hour in the night time." And they see the torches and they see the torches reflecting upon their steel armor as they march, march, march. And in a distance, where are they going? And the disciples watch. The lights grow brighter. And now they come so they can begin to see the features on their faces. And one emerges and runs up to Jesus and places a kiss on his cheek. You know what you can do? You can come into this building just like this. You can sit here as a lost sinner. You can come in here. You can hear the Word of God. You can hear how to be saved. You can hear all about it. You can kiss the door of heaven and go straight to hell if you don't receive Him as your Savior. And Judas did. He's apprehended. You know the story how Peter attempted to kill the soldier, but he cut off his ear. Jesus placed his ear back. Jesus was taken. Jesus was beaten. Jesus was crucified. Jesus' face was shrouded. Now, suppose that's all we had. And some churches today is about all they have. And you won't hear a message like this in the church, but if it gets that far, that's about as far as it'll go. Not only is his face was a shrouded face, but the songwriter had it right when he said, "Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord." He came to that up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose the victor in the dark domain and lives forever with his, that's good, let's emphasize, with his saints. With his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. That's not all. Not only was his face shrouded, his face was seen and shall be. And so the Bible plainly teaches us, every eye shall see him. We shall see him as he is. An artist was painting a picture of the Last Supper. The day came for the unveiling of the masterpiece. He was behind a curtain in the room where the unveiling was going to take place, and he was waiting to get the impression of the people when the veil was dropped. The veil was dropped and people gasped. And then something strange happened. They started looking at the cup and began to comment on the cup and said, "Look at the cup. Why, it looks real. Look at the gold cup with the rubies and the jewels and the diamond. Look at the cup." And the artist had all he wanted to hear. He stepped out from his hiding place and with a few skillful strokes of the brush, he painted out the golden cup and in its place, an earthen vessel was pictured. And he made this announcement. When they said, "You've ruined the cup," he said, "It's my desire to have Jesus Christ as the
chief center of attraction in my painting. And anything that takes his place must go. And anything that takes the place of Jesus Christ in our lives today must go. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Psalm 27, 8, when they saidest, seekest ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. As for me, I will behold the face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I shall know him. I shall know him. And redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, said Fanny Crosby. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. Do you know him? Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How do you look at Jesus? Have you gotten a glimpse of him this morning? Have you looked into the scripture? You get a true glimpse of the face of Jesus upon the authority of God's word. We're all going to leave this building differently than we came in. Dear Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to realize that you are not the figment of some writer's imagination. That Jesus Christ, thank thee, Lord, for coming to us and that humble birth and then exalted on high, ascending back to heaven, preparing a place for those who love thee. Thank thee for the promised return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love thee, Lord. While we're still thinking about the face of Jesus, a few months ago, my friend Sumner Wimp's wife, Celeste, who we met in the early 50s, dear friends of ours, Celeste went to be with the Lord. We were out in Texas last year, had some time with them. And I called Brother Wimp and I said, Wimp, I want you to tell me about it. He said, well, Bobby, Carolyn was with us and she came into my room. She said, Daddy, Mother is not breathing. Wimp said, I went in, saw her. She looked like she was asleep. Her color was good. I kissed her on her forehead. Kissed her a couple of times on her cheek. And the next day, one of my friends called me and said, Sumner, just think of it. Said, Celeste is in the city of gold, walking the street of gold. And Wimp said to me, Bobby, I said to him, no, that's not important. And he said, my friend said, what do you mean? He said, she has just seen Jesus. She has just seen Jesus. My wife's father, Dr. Homer Britton, led singing for us in our meetings the last few years of his life. And he would always lead that song in every revival. He was with us for probably 60 or 70 revivals. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And when he had sang that song, when we all see Jesus, and he would say, think of that. What's it going to be like? Have you ever thought of what's it going to be like to look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ? Wimp said to his friend, no,
That's not important. He said, she has just seen Jesus. Folks, if we can get a glimpse now, it's going to help us the rest of our lives until we see him face to face with Christ our Savior. Speak to our hearts, Lord. We pray, Lord, that thou will do a real work in this invitation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.